Capitol Call on this Friday morning, brought to you as all the way through the legislative session by Phillip 66, and fresh from a chamber forum at Tri-County Tech, State Representative Earl Sears. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, Charlie. And we have just left there, and just a delightful event this morning. And we want to do a shout out and say thank you to the Bartlesville Chamber. Great attendance, had great questions, and just the three of us have spoke. We were very pleased with the turnout and the questions, and it just was a good event. So now then, we just went from here to here, and I wanted to start first to just with the budget.
Mm-hmm.
You read it in the paper, but just you need to hear it from me. There, it's official. On Tuesday, we certified the funds. We have an $878 million shortfall. But it's really a $1.1 billion, not a shortfall, but there's several things we have to do to put in our budget that's just automatic. Ad valorem reimbursement's about $70 million. I won't bore you with that. It's about $200-some million. So really, we got to come up with about $1.1 billion. In that, the tragedy, I thought we were going to escape it, but we didn't. We had a revenue failure. It took all of the 5% carryover that we have. Remember, in our Constitution, we can only spend 95% of our money, or spend, allocate. And it took that, and we still have a 0.7 less funds to put back in state government. So therefore, about $34 million, 34.2, has to be cut from all of our state budgets. Won't be huge, but again, it's nothing like the 7% failure reduction we had last year, but we're not happy about it. That's the bad news. The journey is there. We're still talking. It's not gloom and doom. There's good proposals on the table. There'll be a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of ideas, what we can do and can't do. There's tax proposals. I can be honest with you, there'll be a tough hill to climb. But we have other avenues. I personally am just morning, noon, and night talking about reducing the credits. I'm all about tax credits. I understand tax credits. I support tax credits. But I submit to you and my constituents, to the state of Oklahoma, they need to have reform. This is a year. With the last 2 years of these failures of money, they've continued to receive these taxpaying dollars, and there's no reason why we can't have a little reform there and help us with the money that we're sending out to them to help us with our need right now. But that's another story. But we'll get through it. The good news is Oklahoma's still a great place to call home. I'll argue with anybody in regards to what we're doing. There's a bump in the energy sector. The oil is up. Hiring is going on. And several areas of the state are doing better than others, but overall, Oklahoma's continue to move forward. So, you know, I just don't look at it as gloom and doom. But don't want to play this down. I mean, $1 billion is $1 billion, okay? But we'll get through it.
Okay, well, we'll hear more from Representative Sears, I'm sure. Good morning, Senator Daniels.
Good morning, Charlie. And just to follow on from what Representative Sears said, because a question did come up at the chamber forum this morning, that perhaps we, the elected representatives, are starving the state. Well, you know, there's no money tree out there. I wish there were, and we'd all go fertilize it from time to time. But the reason that we don't have as much money to spend in the state government is because people don't have as much money to send to state government. If you're underemployed or unemployed, you're either paying no income tax or less income tax than you were when you were employed. You're not shopping as much. You're saving your dollars, you know, planning for that brighter future that we see coming slowly. And so it's incumbent upon us to, not only to balance the budget, but from my perspective as a freshman senator, to look very carefully at places where we're spending your money that we needn't be spending it. Some of the tax credits are a very good place to start, and a few of those would yield large sums. Others are smaller sums, but you know, after a while it gets to be real money. You start small and you work up. And I know I'm encountering, in my first effort to scale something back, difficulty in getting clear and accurate information, and learning that asking a question, an open-ended question, may only get you a yes or a no. So you have to keep probing. And I believe there are dollars to be saved in limiting, not abandoning, but limiting government. And certainly, as a freshman, without Representative Sears and Representative Dunlap's experience, that's what I am focused on. I did actually sign with some other elected officials my opposition to the governor's tax increase proposals. And it'll be a very steep hill to climb before somebody will convince me that with the amount of government money that we do spend in government, that this is a time to raise taxes, particularly as economic behavior changes when you change the formula. You tax somebody more in a recession, they have already got less. Well, they're not going to necessarily generate the tax revenue that you might think is coming. So that's just a kind of a philosophical opening to today's discussion. And I will pass it along to Representative Dunlap.
Okay. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. It's great to be here.
I'm glad you're here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but I was a little bit surprised at the cold temperatures this morning after we enjoyed 80-degree weather in Oklahoma City yesterday.
I will agree we had similar temperatures locally, but I will say the calendar still says February.
Well, I'm thankful, but I was also cursed yesterday with a big, beautiful window that overlooked the north side of the Capitol, where it was beautiful, and I was inside working on the people's behalf. So I am working, but I was just a tiny bit bitter yesterday.
No friends to carry your desk out on the lawn.
Well, I won't ask my employees to work that hard. But I'll talk to you about several different things today. I wanted to talk to you about my wind bill, mm-hmm. which thankfully Representative Sears graciously agreed to hear in his committee. And what this bill does is it would cap the zero emission tax credit that we give at $15 million per year. That is the exact same thing that we did to a credit that we give out called the low-producing oil well credit, and we capped that last year at $15 million, and I would like to do the same thing to this zero-emission tax credit. It will save us substantial money. It is one of several proposals to scale back the tax credits we give to zero-emission facilities, our wind credits, and so one of those will move forward. I would be honored if I were able to would help out in any way with any of those efforts. This also stops the ability to claim credits beginning July 1st of this year, so that lines up with our fiscal year as a state. And we would pay the $15 million every year until there were simply run out of claims that are made using that program. And so that could go as long as there are credits to claim, they will continue to claim them and get the payout. But Oklahoma taxpayers would then know how much they're on the line for each year, not in total until every credit is turned in start after July 1st of this year. Right now, taxpayers don't know how many credits will be claimed. The current credit runs out in 2021, so we will not know at what capacity power is being produced and credits are being claimed. And so Oklahoma taxpayers are really on the line here. They've signed a huge blank check, and we don't know how much is going to be filled into the space, to the line. And So I want to take care of that. We need to protect taxpayers.
And local residents, I know, do drive through portions of Osage County and see the wind operation there, but wind power is much more plentiful in, I'll say, west of I-35, and there are local school districts there that get grant funding from those companies.
That is correct. Although we also are online in another aspect. When the wind farms go up, they are able to claim a credit on their ad valorem. Mm-hmm. And so that's also something that we pay for as a state. Now that money does go back to local districts, but it comes from the state coffers. And so so in that way, schools are not hurting when those facilities are going up. But taxpayers in Oklahoma in general are hurting when that happens. But so there's that.
Okay. I'm trying to get a balancing comment there. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Mr. Sears. Yeah, looks like he's gonna pass it along.
All right. Well, you want it back now?
No, go for it.
Okay. So really quickly.
Yeah.
We sometimes get criticized in the media. They get onto one or two issues and they say, you know, why aren't you working on this instead of that? And why is all the focus of attention on this issue and not that issue?
Andy Rooney was great for asking, why is that?
Why is that? Well, because some things just aren't as entertaining or attention-getting as others, but I just want to say I counted up, and so far in 3 weeks I have voted on almost 200 bills, either in committee, but we are now moving them on the floor. I think we've probably done 25 or 30 bills on the floor, so they're ready to go to the House of Representatives. But business and commerce, I serve on that. Mm-hmm. In 2 weeks, we finished our business. Yesterday, we're waiting on the bills to come from the House, but anything assigned to business and commerce is now ready to go to the floor of the Senate. So I bet you by the first week of March, all business commerce affected bills will be heard. But here's just a few examples of the other things we're working on. We have a shortage of funeral directors in Oklahoma, because to be a funeral director, to be certified and licensed, you must not only study funeral directing, but you must study embalming. Mm-hmm. Fewer people want to do the embalming side of the business. So we split this up so that you could have the full-fledged funeral director licensing, or there's a new curriculum that they would offer just in funeral directing. And you could own the business, but obviously you would not be certified to do the full range of services. You could do funeral planning, but not the embalming side. And so that is new. It's to try to encourage people to continue to grow that industry. We passed a new Real Estate Owner Rights Act, which says that if you are doing work on your own property or you are using your family, you may do the electrical and plumbing work without being a licensed electrician or plumber. Now, you will have to get the appropriate permits, but it allows property owners more right to work and develop their property. And so we did that one. We are passing a range of liquor law, updates or revisions in line with the passage of State Question 792, that was right to farm. Anyway, the one that had to do with selling beer and wine in convenience stores.
Right.
That threw all of our liquor laws into turmoil. So yesterday, Senator Bryce brought half a dozen different law bills to the business committee for us to consider. We're changing the way we do the recycled tire program in Oklahoma. Okay. Absolutely fascinating if you have insomnia, or it will cure it. But it has all to do with we're not going to weigh the tires anymore for the rubber. We're going to do it by the circumference of the wheel. And so that helps the recycled tire industry. We are no longer going to charge plumbers and electricians and mechanical construction people. We're not going to base their license fee on the number of apprentices and journeymen they have working with them. We're only going to base it on the numbers of already licensed plumbers and electricians. This will cut back a little bit on the cost of doing business for these folks. We updated the categories of amusement rides in Oklahoma. This is because we all go to the State Fair or to Frontier City and maybe to the kiddie park. Mm-hmm. And we see the Department of Labor has, you know, inspected and put their sticker on that amusement ride. Well, what about inflatables? What about trampolines? What about the businesses where you go and have the parties? I don't even know, Celebration Station. They probably don't even exist anymore. That's from my kids' era. But those kinds of things, they need to be licensed or certified in some way, but not to the same extent as the mechanical rides. So we worked on that. And then we indemnified boat rental owners. You run a small business, you rent a vessel, somebody either has an accident or there's damage and somebody sues. We've now indemnified the vessel owner from that. That's a cost of doing business that we've now relieved them of having to worry about. And then the last one really doesn't have to do with business, but it was very interesting, is can you shoot down a drone on your private property? Who owns the airspace? If a drone flies over your property and you're not sure what it is, it's invading your property, it's trespassing. How far up into the air do you own the space in order to be able to take self-defensive measures and destroy a drone?
And since that drone is licensed with the FAA.
Well, and if it's with the FAA, it should be in the FAA airspace. But then somebody said, how do you, as a property owner, look up in the sky and judge whether or not it's 400 feet up there or 401 feet? It made for an interesting conversation in committee, and like so many other bills, we took the title off of it so that it could continue to work its way through revisions. We passed it out of committee, so it'll be interesting to see if it does come to the floor of the Senate. So that's just a little aside of the variety of things we work on, and that was just in business and commerce. That doesn't even cover the general government issues.
Okay.
Are you okay now, Representative?
I am okay. Excuse me for the coughing fit, but it's perfect timing to come in and say, Charlie, thank you for the radio show, and thank you to all, because we're winding up, aren't we?
We have, just because Bruin Buzz has already recorded, and I know how long it is, if you have more time, I could allow you a few more minutes.
Well, the only thing, I have nothing to add other than, again, I want to thank Phillips 66. But I guess I will add to, just to piggyback on what Senator Daniels just elaborated on. A lot of things are going on. Mm-hmm. There's no question, though. The budget drives everything, and that's a lot of conversations. But she's done an excellent job explaining it. There's far more going on in your state government than just the budget.
Not that I expect you to go out very far on a limb, but if you were to speculate, would you feel relatively confident, and I'm trying to qualify this as many times as I can, that, let's say, by the time we get to the next fiscal year's budget, after the one you're currently working on, that we will be much more around the corner than we are now as far as the overall economy and money coming into the state?
I think we will. I do. But you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but yeah. I feel confident that we will. Okay. That's where I'm at. But after this week, then it's just Senate floor, House floor. It's just all bills, and then it'll just be morning, noon, and night. We'll just be there hearing bills, and we'll be able to report much more to you. And again, as always,
well, one of the bills you talked about last week on the driver's license, the two-tiered driver's license system, passed the Senate this week, and so
it did. I'll quickly comment about that. It did pass the Senate committee. It hasn't passed the full House of the Senate, but the governor wants that on an expedited track. And so, as soon as the Senate deals with it, if they pass the same version of the bill that we did, then she can sign it right away. Upon her signature, we will be granted another extension by the Department of Homeland Security in order for us to implement the systems that the bill sets up, which is a central issuance for those who want driver's license compliant with Real ID. And then, of course, we need to train a lot of people on how to do the Real ID acts at the different tag agencies. And then if the Senate ends up passing the same version of the bill that we did, know that it will be a little bit more expensive on both your driver's license and your car tag. And so that both of those items increased by $5 in the bill that passed the House. So there you have it. You have to pay for it, I guess.
Okay. That's kind of, if you want more, somebody has to pay for it.
Well, I will remind the listeners that was a mandate by the federal government. So if you want somebody to blame, I'll pass it on.
There you go. So it's kind of like last time Ed Gordon was in, he wanted to remind people that the bridge work on US 75 is a state project.
Yes.
And they set the
timetable. We're good at passing the buck, aren't we?
Well, I think it's informed consent, but I'll let you go with any way you want to. 47, almost 48 after 9 o'clock on your Friday morning, and Capital Call brought to you this morning by Phillips 66.
It's 2:37 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped.